fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. You know, there is nothing more delicious than fruit in season. And I'm not a fan of durian, but everyone knows there's nothing better than durian in season. You know, for our God, there's nothing more delicious than the fruitfulness of a righteous person, because spiritual fruit brings forth spiritual life. In just a moment, Kenneth delves more into that theme with part one of Fruit.
Hi there, everyone. It's a real joy to be with you once more. We are going to start a series on the subject of fruit or spiritual fruit, and you'll be surprised how much the Bible has to say concerning fruit. I've entitled the first in this series, Fruit to God, and it is a phrase that is used in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, and we'll come to that right toward the end. But I'll just mention it at the beginning, since this is the title for our first in the series. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says that we should bear fruit to God. So this immediately tells us that fruit is God's purpose for those who belong to Him. We'll begin our studies from the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. And beginning from the very first Psalm, we find that it has something to say about fruit, and especially bearing fruit in season. Let me read to you from Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So it begins right off with a statement about the righteous or the ungodly person, and to describe his state as blessed. To be blessed literally means to be happy. In fact, to be very happy. So it describes the blessedness of godliness or righteousness. And the godly person is described here as a tree planted by rivers of water. And that person is well watered by delighting in the Word of God and by meditating daily on it. And because of that, it remains spiritually strong and healthy, and its leaves will not wither. But most of all, this tree or this plant brings forth its fruit in its season. So it's healthy and it's productive, and it's fulfilling the function for which it is designed and destined. Those are the positive aspects, but it is preceded by the negative aspects to describe such a person as one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So there is a consistent refusal of evil coupled with a continual reflection on God's Word that leads to fruitfulness in the life of a godly and righteous person. There's in fact a very similar picture of this given by Jeremiah in his prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. It's almost identical to what we have just read in Psalm 1 with some minor differences. Here is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So here it is again, the picture of a godly person as a tree planted by the waters, and ending with the significant phrase, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So the righteous or the godly person not only yields fruit in its season, but it continues to do so year after year, continually. Here it describes the blessedness of the one who puts his or her hope and trust in the Lord. The godly can continue and are preserved because they continue to put their hope and their trust in the Lord. The leaves here are described not only as those that will not wither, but that they will be green. Again, emphasizing the aspect of continuity. When the heat comes, there will be no fear. In a year of drought, there will be no anxiety because of the plant's access to underground water from its deep roots. And this is what it is like for the person who continually puts his hope and his trust in the Lord. Putting these two parallel passages together, this is the sum of what both passages say. They say that fruitfulness is a blessing of godliness. And it is something that continues. It doesn't stop. The source of life comes from the waters of the river, and they represent the Word of God. The sign of life are the green leaves, and they represent the witness of the life of God in the believer. Therefore, the godly derive their life and sustenance from God, and hence become fruitful to God. So far, in both these passages, the righteous have been compared to a tree. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, we read this: "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." So this is a step further in describing not only the righteous as a tree of life, but that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Here in Proverbs 11:30, the righteous is described as being fruitful. They bear fruit, which in turn is a tree of life to others. Life always begets life. What does it mean to bring forth spiritual fruit? Well, to bring forth spiritual fruit is to reproduce or to bring forth spiritual life in others. And there is really no fruit more precious than new lives through the souls of those who have been won to the Lord. And that is why that verse ends with, "He who wins souls is wise." There is no fruit more blessed than that. So these three places in the scriptures, in Psalm 1, Jeremiah 17, and Proverbs 11, are wonderful promises and strong encouragement for us to bring forth fruit in God's seasons. Next, I would like to go back to one of the Psalms, and this time it's in Psalm 92, where we have an encouraging word for the elderly or the old, who may be tempted to think that their fruit-bearing age is long past, and that this is something for the younger and the more vigorous, but not for them. Here in Psalm 92, verse 12, the psalmist declares, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." So here we have fruit when old, not only fruit in season. If, as we have read from Jeremiah 17 earlier, that the righteous never cease from yielding fruit or become barren, then it follows that for the righteous or the godly, fruit-bearing season never ends. And as it says here in Psalm 92 verse 14, "They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." Here the righteous person is compared to a palm tree or a strong cedar tree. They are both symbolic of trees which are strong, solid, and stable. We haven't got any cedar trees in this part of the world where we live, but we have plenty of palm trees. We have a couple of beautiful royal palms in our garden, and they were grown from seedlings which sprouted from seeds. And over the years, they have grown into tall and stately palms, and they are still bringing forth luscious red palm fruits which the birds love to eat. It says here in Psalm 92 verse 13 that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And may there continue to be much planting of such righteous seeds and flourishing of the godly in the churches of God. And it's a beautiful thing to see aged saints still bearing fruit in their old age. As it says here, they are still fruitful, still fresh, and still flourishing. And they are like mature gardens with sprawling shady trees and attractive arbors that make it a delight to spend time in. So this is a really encouraging word to the more elderly saints. Fruitfulness means being productive, being useful and of value to God. And the only reason we are left here on earth for another day is for that purpose. We must resist the common notion of feeling useless in old age. There may be some things we cannot do as well now as when we are younger or stronger. But then there are other things that we can do better with experience and maturity. We may have more time with less interruptions in order to serve the Lord without distractions. And it's not just about having activities to pass the time, but we can effectively engage in prayer and intercession or spend time with others or help others so that we can be still fruitful, fresh and flourishing, like it says in this psalm. Now let's move on to the New Testament, and I want particularly to go to the book of Romans, where we read about fruit to God and fruit to holiness. First in Romans chapter 6, and reading from verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. First, referring to our past life without Christ, we had no holy fruit. We had bad fruit, rotten fruit. But now, having been set free from sin and made alive in Christ, this is what it says in Romans 6:22. You have your fruit to holiness. This is good fruit and holy fruit, and it's the natural and expected outcome of a new life in Christ. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and take Him to be our Savior, He sets us free from sin, and He sets us apart to God Himself, and that is the essential meaning of holiness, or what it means to be a saint, a sanctified one, someone who has been separated from the world and set apart to God. And the evidence of that will inevitably be manifested through a holy life. So here we have the first condition for spiritual fruit, it's holiness. It's the condition of freedom from sin. And this is based on a very simple principle of what may be called the seed-fruit principle. The first and the natural occurrence of the seed-fruit principle is given to us right in Genesis chapter 1, where we have the creation account. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says, Then God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Any plant or tree will always bring forth fruit after its own kind. If I've sown mustard seed, I will not expect to get a chili plant and to reap chilies. And similarly, if I had sown chili seeds, I would not expect to get tomatoes. I would expect to get chilies. Now, what is the real spiritual seed that is in a saint? Well, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. And he was not only referring to Abraham as the father of Israel, but Abraham as the father of faith, which includes all those who are to come to Christ through faith. So for those who are saved, this is the seed that is in you. It's the seed of Jesus Christ. And according to the seed fruit principle, you will no doubt bring forth fruit according to your kind, according to the seed that is in you. So even as God is holy and Christ is holy, so you will be and you can be holy. You wouldn't expect a holy tree or plant to yield unholy fruit. So that's the first condition for spiritual fruit. It's holiness, based on Romans chapter 6, verse 22. There is another verse in the Epistle of Romans which mentions fruit, and it is in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Let me read that to you. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. And that last phrase, that you should bear fruit to God, is where I took the title for today's message from. So from Romans 6:22, we see that we have been freed from sin to serve God. We have died to self, to the world, in order to live for Christ. Here in Romans 7, he's talking about the fruit of our union with Christ, which is also holiness, being set apart for his purpose. But the focus here is that it is not just fruit to holiness, but it's fruit to God. So it's for God's glory and not ours. When we talk about fruit, we're not talking about our own achievements or success. It's fruit to God. So what kind of fruit are we laboring for in life? And this is the second condition for spiritual fruit or fruitfulness. It's communion. And it has to do with closeness to Christ. We really only know a tree when the fruit finally appears. This is really the same principle of seed fruit in the spiritual sense, taken through to maturity. If I had planted some seeds in the garden without telling you what they were, and I continue to diligently water them and look after them day by day, you would have to wait some time until the leaves begin to sprout and the plant grows up to figure out what kind of plant it really is. And if you have seen it before, you might be able to recognize just from the look of the leaves. But in all probability, if you're not familiar, the only way you can really be sure is only when the fruit finally appears. Even the flowers may be unfamiliar and unrecognizable to you. The Lord Jesus, in fact, elaborated on this seed fruit principle in the spiritual sense in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through to 20, as part of the Sermon on the Mount. And listen to what he said concerning this spiritual seed fruit principle. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So there, in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, is an explanation of the spiritual seed fruit principle. You will know them by their fruits. That's how he began. And by their fruits you will know them. That's how he ended. And sandwiched between these two, he explained with some examples. I've called this condition for spiritual fruit as communion, because closeness to Christ is required to cultivate likeness to Christ. And spiritual fruit is not optional, it's inevitable. And nowhere is Christ-likeness better described in terms of spiritual fruit than in the same letter of Galatians from which we read earlier, about Christ being the seed in those who have trusted and believed him as Savior. Now here in this great passage of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we have a very clear, explicit, ninefold description of the fruit of the Spirit, which tells us what this fruit to God looks like. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And if you display these ninefold characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, which is really the spiritual fruit to God, the fruit to holiness that comes from the seed of Christ in you, this will be the most powerful evidence of the Christ life in you to others. And in turn, you can be a tree of life to others by winning souls to Christ and leading them into the life of God themselves. What a glorious privilege we have to bring forth fruit to holiness, to God in his season, even to old age. And may God continue to refresh you through his presence and to reach you through his word.
That is a good word, Kenneth, for further reflection. The fruit of our union with Christ is holiness, being set apart for his purpose. Thank you again, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong presents part two of Fruit. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question for Ken. Simply send him a text message at 94313813. Or you can write to him at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915714. And Times of Refreshing also has a Facebook page, and I encourage you to go there and leave your comments on the program and socialize with some of the other folks that you see there. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program online. And if you would like to have even more convenience, I invite you to download our iPhone app and it will allow you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.